Welcome to another edition of Take 10, brought to you by ANSPRA, the leader in school communications. Today, Jeanette Marquis, Director of Communication at Twin Rivers Unified School District in McClellan, California, and 2010 Leadership for Communication Award recipient, joins ANSPRA's Executive Director, Rich Bagan, APR, in discussing how to create a communication toolkit for facilitating change. We'd like to remind you that additional ANSPRA Take 10 interviews are always available under the Member Resources menu on ANSPRA.org, and they're always free. Enjoy this Take 10, and we hope you can tune in for more in the near future.
Hi, this is Rich Bagan with another edition of ANSPRA's Take 10. Today, we're fortunate enough to have Jeanette Marquis, Director of Communication with the Twin Rivers Unified School District. Our topic today is a communication toolkit for facilitating change. So I think, Jeanette, I think what we need to do is give a little background of what kinds of changes that you have experienced there in your school system.
Sure. I mean, I think our situation is pretty unusual. We've gone through a significant amount of change. The first part was merging 4 independent school districts into 1 new unified school district. Then we faced the worst education budget in about 60 years, so that forced us to look at school closures and layoffs. And we're also trying to look at grade level and program realignment throughout the district, which is actually the benefit of unification, is being able to look at the best programs and replicate them throughout our new district.
So what size systems came together, and how big are you now?
There were 3 elementary districts, the largest of which was about 10,000 students.
Uh-huh.
And now we are a unified preschool through adult ed district of 27,000 students in preschool through 12th and another 7,000 in adult ed.
Wow. I mean, that's a monster of a task that you went through. I mean, I know somewhat about it because of you actually won the Alert Now Leadership Through Communication Award for us at ANSPRA, for AASA and ANSPRA, and we congratulate you for that because you did a really nice job. So how did you go about this? How did you plan to facilitate this kind of change?
Well, I think it was really important from the very beginning for us to bring stakeholders in and have them be a part of every single stage of the district. So before the district even started, we had community forums, staff forums, student forums. We had 24 different task force groups that were working on every operational area and curricular area and communications area of schools, and really asked people to dream about what their ideal school district, what their ideal school, classroom, student learning environment would look like. What is it that they wanted for students? And then took that and used that as the foundation for our new district.
How did you decide actually who participated in all those advisory groups?
The advisory groups were made up of employees from all 4 of the emerging districts. And we also put a call out for any interested families, community leaders. It was really wide open for folks to participate. And it really is amazing for people that have been a part of one district, not only to hear from the other 3 how things can be done differently, but also to hear from the community and whether or not their perception of what they were doing matches up with what the community felt that they were doing, and vice versa.
Yeah, so you didn't have any problem in getting volunteers to do this?
No, you know, when you are starting something up brand new, there's an excitement with it. There is also some anxiety.
Sure.
There are a lot of folks that really feel passionate about education, and that's something that we should all appreciate in people, even when you know, they're coming at you with criticism. Usually underlying that is a real passion for education. So understanding that, if you can harness that into, I can see you really care about this, tell us what your ideas are. Tell us what you hold of highest value and how can we incorporate that into what it is that we're doing.
Okay. I mean, that's sometimes when we hear around the country that they can't get people to participate, but I think the newness of it all really did help and get people excited about helping create just that, something new for their community.
Yeah, they were very hungry for change in this community. So okay. we were lucky to have folks stepping up to the plate.
So what role did your board play in this and your superintendent, and how did that all come together? Because sometimes, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, I know I'm extremely lucky, in that I have a board and a superintendent that really value communication and community engagement.
Yes.
They really have provided that leadership and direction and supported the work that we're doing. They are attending these events that we sponsor. They are talking about it out in the community. When they are interviewed by the media, communication and community engagement is always something that comes up. So I know how lucky I am to be in a district that really values that.
Yeah, no, it is a mighty force when it's all working together that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, the title of this little 10-minute show is Toolkit. So
right.
What are some of the kinds of things that you used and a little bit about the ones that you think kind of worked the best for you?
Sure. Well, I mean, one of the things, it's interesting to be talking today about this because I've just started to formalize what we're calling a change management work group with our principals. And we have a number of schools, probably a third of our schools between now and next fall, will be adding grade levels, subtracting grade levels, closing their school, getting a new principal, changing their program. So we've got a significant amount of changes going on.
It's not business as usual, shall we?
No, not yet. I hope one day we will get to business as usual. But what I've learned is it's really important. I've done a lot at the district level, but it's even more important that our site leaders own the changes that are happening and that they are the ones with the relationship with the community that are building the trust and building those relationships and selling the change.
Yeah.
I mean, we provide them with the tools. So I might take the same basic document and put together discussion points on the changes that are happening. I might change that into a sample newsletter article for a school site. I might also provide a phone script for that school site. I might also turn that into a fact sheet that can be put in the lobby or sent home with students. And I might also put something together that's a short electronic article on their website. But it's really about getting those middle managers, department level leaders, and the school principals, even most importantly, on board with the changes that are taking place.
And that can be a difficult task. How's that going for you?
Well, it's really crucial that you pull them in before you're trying to leapfrog over to them and communicate with the public. It builds a lot of trust and credibility with your leadership team.
Right.
That they know of things a little bit ahead of time. And it also builds the relationship between them and the employees that report to them and the community that works with them. Because instead of listening to, someone down the road or maybe just listening to the union leadership, they now have a site leader who is in the know and who understands what's happening with these changes and is someone that they can trust and they can go to for answers.
Yeah, so they become more of a go-to resource for the changes in their particular attendance area.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean that's great. And in our work across the country when we do audits and other things, sometimes we see inconsistencies because some principals do and some principals, shall we say, don't.
It's a huge cultural issue.
Yeah.
It really starts with when you're interviewing staff members, when you're interviewing your teachers, because those are the people that end up becoming your principals at some point.
Right.
Making sure that communication and community engagement, all of the things that are important on our side of the house are included in those interview questions.
Yeah, that's, that kind of integration for the communication function is something that everybody talks about, but it sounds like you're doing it. So that's just really great. Any other tools you want to tell us about that have really worked for you so our members could learn a little bit more from it?
Sure. Well, I like very inexpensive ways to get out there, because in California we don't have a lot of extra money these days.
Yes.
My email signature, anytime that there's some sort of, I call it like a mini communications campaign that's happening with regard to a change,
uh-huh.
I'll have a link to it from my email signature. So it just happens seamlessly. Every email that someone gets from me, and there are probably a couple hundred every day, I'm sending the message out there with a link back to our website that has a fact sheet or something about the changes going on.
Uh-huh.
We do brown bag lunches to bring our central office folks and those middle manager leaders. We invite the principals every time there's something that's going on that's going to be part of, you know, the next board meeting. We'll do a brown bag kind of rehearsal lunch, if you will,
uh-huh.
and let them critique the PowerPoint that's going to be presented and give us some of the questions that they think might come up, so we can address it before we bring it in front of the public.
Well, that's great.
We also have an electronic newsletter, and it's worked out really well in terms of getting regular information out there, but also when we've had to deal with special circumstances, if there's an urgent issue that comes up, that electronic newsletter, I can get it out within an hour. And so it's really been helpful to frame the changes that we're having to deal with. When the governor's budget comes out, I can get an electronic newsletter out there that tells people how bad things really are, so that it's not a shock when we're considering school closures and when we're considering laying off teachers and staff.
And how did you build your distribution list?
We bring a clipboard around everywhere we go.
The high-tech
thing
way.
That our staff's committed to
yeah.
is we make sure we know all of the community events that are happening within the towns that we serve. And so, for example, I think I'm going to a wine night at the museum tomorrow for the Rotary Club. Well, I'll probably have my clipboard there with me, and as I'm walking around, if I'm talking to folks that don't yet know about Twin Rivers and what we're doing, I'll sign them up for our electronic newsletter.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, you know, it's the electronic on the one end, but it's really the face-to-face and the recruitment mm-hmm. on the front end of it.
Absolutely.
Seems to be working for you. You know, our time is just about up, but just any general lessons as you look back and things that you've learned from going through the change process?
I think the most important thing that I've learned how to do is really listen
uh-huh.
and try to understand where people are coming from and have a lot of compassion for the anxiety that comes up with regards to change. It doesn't mean that you don't carry forward with school improvements or things that you have to implement, but it's really about trying to be flexible in your approach to people and, you know, not taking the criticism personally, but really trying to incorporate it into your approach. If someone wants to participate, like I said, that passion that people have for education
yeah.
is something that we should embrace with people. It can be scary. Sometimes it can be presented in a way that is really overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
But if you can just take that in and say, wow, this is great that you feel this strongly about this, and turn that person into an advocate. It's just really been amazing to see that happen in our community. There were people who just really weren't sure what to make of us, but after continual conversations, it doesn't happen overnight.
Uh-huh.
It happens over lots of times of seeing them out in the community and listening to their concerns, inviting them into the conversation, and even more importantly, you know, making some concessions and making some changes that reflect their concerns.
Yeah, and prove that you have listened to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's tying a bow on the entire process mm-hmm. sometimes,
mm-hmm.
because, and that is often what we see as a lacking part of some of the engagement kinds of things that's happening around the country. Well, Trinette, our time is up. I really thank you. This is
sure.
very helpful to our members, and once again, I want to thank all our listeners for joining us today for another edition of Ensper's Take 10.
Thank you, Rich.